In our gospel today, Jesus connects together love and commandments. And what does that mean? How does that work together? What is the sense of Jesus saying, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? Now, I don't think it's some, you know, sometimes people might be like, well, if you really love me, you'd do this or that. If you really love me, you'd buy me that car. And he's not saying it that way, kind of that selfish manipulation kind of way. But instead, I think what he's saying is that you will really only be able to keep my commandments if you love me. Flowing out of love for me, that deep communion with me, then you'll be able to keep the commandments that I give you. And then a bit later in our gospel today, Jesus again says, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Commandments then make concrete our loving of God with all our hearts, our minds, our strength. You know, these actions that then flow out of the commandments, they show the love that I have, and they actually then help me, kind of guided by them, to love better, to love God better, and then to love all that he loves better. You know, so commandments then help make this interior reality an exterior reality. And then in turn, they help and enrich in that love we have within us. Because words by themselves, well, words sometimes can be cheap. As it says in the Gospel of Matthew, as Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And so he gives us these commandments to really help us in this relationship with him, to be able to love more deeply. And there's this mutually kind of reinforcing reality that goes on here. Only in loving Jesus, in that deep communion with him that he speaks of, abiding in him as he abides in us, that loving of Jesus, which first of all is a grace from God, a grace given by the Holy Spirit, and then our choice. Only in that loving of Jesus are we transformed and able to really keep the commandments that he gives us. But then in keeping his commandments, our actions show our love and make us able to receive more of that love and love better. What are the commandments of Jesus that we are to keep? What is he speaking about here? And before we maybe automatically go and think about, well, the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament, Moses and the tablets, the thou shalt not. I don't think that's really what he's pointing at. There's really many things, many commandments that Jesus gives us and gives his disciples in the New Testament. Just looking at the Gospel of John by itself, here's just a few. He tells his disciples, abide in me. Remain in me, he commands us. He also commands us to serve each other in mercy through that great example in John 13 of the washing of his disciples' feet. I have given this example to you that you may do likewise. He also commands us, love one another as I have loved you. That is this love all the way to the end, this love all the way to the cross. And at the very end of the gospel, Jesus tells Peter, and through Peter tells all of us, follow me. And then looking beyond the gospel of John to the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are commandments like this, love your enemy, love your enemy. Very demanding commandment that the Lord gives us, which we can really only do out of his love. Seek first the kingdom of God, he commands us as well. And then all these other things will be added unto you. Rather than, okay, pursue all these other things and sneak in the kingdom of God where you can. No, seek first the kingdom of God, he commands us. And then also at the very end of the gospel of Matthew, as he's about to ascend to heaven, he gives us this commandment, go and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them and teaching them. This great commission, indeed, a commandment that Jesus gives us. And then what we're doing right here, right now, in Mass, at the Last Supper, when he institutes the Eucharist, what does he say? Do this in memory of me. And so there are many commandments that the Lord gives us. And indeed, it's an entire form of life, of receiving the life that he has won for us, that he wants to give us. As Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And he wants us to have that full abundance of life, not just simply, okay, don't do this thing, make sure you don't do that one, but no, to live this new life beyond what we naturally would have, beyond certainly what we would have in our fallenness, this life of grace, this elevating reality that is such a great gift, but also has so much that it calls us to. Maybe that can seem daunting, but it's a process to let that life of Christ claim me more and more deeply and to live out of that life. You know, and that's okay to go in that process. You know, another word for that is sanctification, becoming more and more like Christ. And that's why he promises the Holy Spirit to us, to guide us in that, to help us keep growing in his love, that we may live this new life, the commandments that Jesus has given to us. Jesus has also given us, along with the Holy Spirit, a beautiful example and a companion in this great life that he is calling us to. And that's someone that we acknowledge in a special way in May. Of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. You know, and it's a beautiful day to be able to honor both our mothers who are here among us, as well as this special mother who has been given to each and every one of us. I think Mary is given to us as both this example of entering more deeply and deeply into this life of love and commandment, as well as then she helps us do that ourselves. Here's a few ways. I think we see in Mary, first of all, this beautiful joining, this beautiful rhythm of deep love and obedience. Mary really is the first disciple of Jesus. She is the first one to receive this message. And just as that first woman, Eve, you know, heeded that fallen angel's word, so now Mary, this new Eve, you know, she heeds the word of the angel, the archangel Gabriel. And instead of rejecting the will of God, Mary instead says, let it be done to me according to your will, according to your word. And with that, then, you know, the word of God, the Son of God, enters the world. And Mary was willing in her faith to keep growing in understanding of what is this life, this mission of Christ, her Son. The temple seems to figure in that a few times. First of all, presenting Jesus in the temple and hearing the great prophecies of how he'd be a sign of contradiction, how a sword would pierce her own heart, that this having this son, this Messiah, would be a challenging walk of faith. And then later on, at age 12, after 3 days of looking for her son, she and Joseph find Jesus in the temple, and he has to help her see, I have to be about my father's business. And so in her great faith, she could keep growing and understanding what the Lord was calling her to accompany her in this mission of Christ, so that later on, when he's going to do that first public miracle at Cana, the turning water into wine, Mary can instruct the servants there, because she herself knows this well. She can tell those servants, do whatever he tells you. And so Mary combines this deep love and obedience, this hearing the word. And so she's a great receiver from God. You know, the word obedience comes out of the Latin ob audire, means to listen to someone. She listened so well to God's message that she actually bore the word of God in her womb. He was made flesh through her. She's a great receiver of the word of God, and she ponders his messages and the ways of her son deep within her heart. And then she's overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, that the Word would become flesh. And later on, she tutors the church at Pentecost, praying in the midst of the apostles and disciples. And the Holy Spirit descends upon the church, and in a new way, Christ is made present to the world. And so Mary is this beautiful example given to us of loving obedience, of receiving from God, and also of living out what we have in 1 Peter, our second reading, where it says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. We see this when Mary goes in haste to help her cousin Elizabeth, you know, in the hill country of Judea. She goes there, and Elizabeth, you know, overjoyed at Mary's arrival and saying, you know, how is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me? And then what does Mary do? She gives this beautiful explanation of what's going on in her life. The Lord has done great things for me, and holy is his name. She gives this beautiful canticle explaining the work of God in her life. And we have that beautiful Magnificat as part of the Gospel of Luke. And every evening prayer, every day of the year, for centuries, the church has learned that hymn of praise from Mary. And so Mary is this wonderful example of living out love and commandments. But she's also here and now to help us. As Jesus from the cross would say to the beloved disciple, and through that disciple to all of us, with Mary right there at the cross, behold your mother. Behold your mother. She is our mother as well. Our mother, and in this order of grace that God has given us. And so ask her to help you, to intercede for you with her son, that you too would be someone who beautifully combines that dynamic reality of love and commandment that is the life of Christ given to us. Jesus calls us to that so that our joy may be full. May Mary be our companion, our honored guest in our lives, to help us always receive well her Son, that beautiful power of the Holy Spirit, and to do all things for the glory of the Father. Our Lady, Mary, help of Christians, pray for us.